I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me.
Hello there, I'm Molly Wood.
Oh, hi, I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where I'm going to read the text. Where some enchanted evening you may see a thing, you may see a thing across a crowded room, and somehow you know even then that somehow you'll see it again and again. Thanks for joining us.
Wow.
I'm just going to assume that was producer Rich, but it was beautiful.
Someday, something. I got nothing else. That's all I got.
I bet there's a tune.
Yeah.
I bet there's a tune. Look at that guy.
Across a crowded room.
Luckily, the Discord knows
and
that it was
somehow
from South Pacific.
You know. My sister was in the musical South Pacific at Greenville High School.
Love that guy.
That's how I know that song.
Love it. He got tired of watching me struggle with the weekly ad lib and was like, you know what? Let's go South Pacific.
I like it. I like it.
Love it. Producer Rich coming to the rescue once again.
Bali High is another song from South Pacific. All right. Let's
is another song.
let's talk about the fact that the younger people just don't have sex anymore. it's over.
Wow.
Folks.
The human Great.
Race. Human
awesome.
Race is done. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating, but you know, we've actually talked before
about
you know, the idea that dates don't have to be about, you know, getting it on and every, you know, things are different. Sex is at a lower rate. Wall Street Journal has a story about the fact that people started during lockdown and are continuing to use dating apps like Match, Bumble, and Tinder to find friends. And this isn't a wink, wink friends. This is friends without benefits. This is like, no, I really just want someone to hang out with. I'm not going to tell you whether I'm interested in kids or not because it doesn't matter. I just want someone, you know, to like talk about stuff, have a drink, get some coffee.
So I remember when these companies introduced these features.
Right.
And I was like, no, give me a break. No one, that's not what anyone cares about, which apparently is just me showing my Gen X Xennialness. Because they appeared to have, I was like, these companies just planted this as a, you know, but no. Sure enough, they have several people cited in this article. These two were like, yes, I went on Bumble BFF and like made some friends, which honestly, kind of why not? Because it's hard to make friends as an adult, especially if you're not in an office, for example.
One Pulse did a survey of people aged 16 to 24 in the United States. 35% said they'd use dating apps to make platonic friends in the past 12 months.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah. And during the lockdown makes perfect sense, right? Like, I'm not going anywhere, but I'd like, you know, a friend to chat with. That's a human need, perfectly legitimate. I could see that happening, but it's continued into real life. People are getting together. There's one story in this Wall Street Journal article about one that turned into something more, but that's it. Most of them are like, no, it's just pals.
Right.
Often same sex, often not. Just all kinds of pals.
Yeah. People who relocated, for example, you could actually see this really taking off as people do continue to move because everybody's quitting their job and moving to a different town and moving to a different town in the pandemic. Wow. Well, you know what? That's great because it legitimately is. In fact, I just saw an article today about how men are falling into like a friendship drought. Like it's not uncommon for especially men who are married to just like sort of not have a lot of friends. They're like couples friends.
I think that's historically been true, right?
Yes.
That's yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But so they should use Bumble to find some friends. I wonder if it's more women doing this, especially also because women are like,
The Wall Street Journal
gross.
Article, it wasn't like crazy, but it was definitely a higher percentage. 39% of women, 29% of men.
Right. Wow.
In that same survey.
That's still not nothing.
Yeah, no.
It really shows you that the generational differences, you know, that like Gen Z and millennials are like, yeah, sure.
Great. I attribute it to My Little Pony.
You contributed to Your Little Pony?
No, I said I attribute this to My Little Pony.
Oh, that you can be bronies.
Friendship is magic.
Oh, there you go.
A whole generation.
I just immediately am like, oh, because you can find other bronies on Bumble. Yeah.
A whole generation has been, you could say brainwashed or taught, whatever you prefer.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. Friendship is magic. It is really important. And if that is really happening at a large scale, I am freaking delighted because that is lovely and so much better, really, than just kind of being like, I don't know, hopefully we'll become friends with people at work or if we have kids, then, you know, people we meet at school.
Make a rainbow dash for friends and you'll have a twilight sparkle of joy.
Look at you.
I had nieces over last week. Don't forget.
Clearly. Clearly you did. Okay. That explains at least some of that.
A lot of ponies on the TV. Huh. A lot of ponies on the TV last week.
Tell me more. Interestingly, I don't know that it's necessarily interesting. Nope. I'm going to start over. My thing today actually is related to, we touched on this last week and I had sort of had it in my bullpen. So I decided to pull it out today. Tom,
they'll want to wear.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
I literally was about to be like, speaking of girls. And then I was like, nope, reel it in. Speaking in no way whatsoever of jewelry. Last week, we were talking about direct to consumer marketing and all of these, you know, small independent companies. And I was like, I'm going to spoil this somewhat because that's been happening with jewelry. Mm-hmm. But what I've particularly noticed with the industry at large, but especially a lot of these new direct to consumer jewelry companies is that they're all about being super green, carbon neutral, even carbon negative. Evidently, Pandora last year went full carbon negative.
The jewelry store.
The jewelry
company,
store.
Not the music service.
Not the music obviously. Service. Yes, totally. Yep. Uh-huh. Pandora, the like big jewelry chain that is known, I think, for like charms. And, it, you know, this makes sense in, I guess, more ways than I would have considered before I started thinking about it for this story, which is like jewelry in particular comes from like metals that you get out of the ground. And so you have like mining being dirty. Yeah. You have all of these emissions in the, you know, what this story refers to as like the procurement of raw materials.
Yeah.
Which, right. You know, mining. But then, of course, manufacturing, packaging, franchising, transportation, all of those things. And so a lot of these companies are now trying to go to recycled silver and gold, buy from recycled sources,
okay,
and just use a lot less energy. And then also it's just like great marketing, right? You've got this like really pretty thing and you're like, it's carbon neutral.
Yeah. You're helping the environment by spending $1,000 on this ruby ring.
Exactly. Evidently, only about 15% of the world's silver supply right now comes from recycled sources.
Oh, yeah. We could, so we could do a whole lot more reusing and recycling of things. There's plenty of room to improve there. And yep. I don't mean improve in a moralistic way. I mean, just smart, like in my depression era parents way of like, why are you throwing that away? Do something.
Right.
With that.
Exactly. And there's just a ton of like, there's a ton of jewelry that's like not in use. You know, I mean, there's sort of all kinds of ways to find this. But yeah, evidently. And also, I think that the direct to consumer thing might actually make the supply chains easier to deal with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Sense. Glamour had a piece about the 13 sustainable jewelry shops that you can shop in. I mean, it seems like it really started to become a thing last fall of 2020. So not very long ago, and has just continued to get bigger. And I can tell you, it is all the ads I get on my Instagram right now. And every time I'm like, I love it.
Listen, folks, diamonds remove carbon from the atmosphere.
Oh, look at you.
Because we all know Superman can crush a piece of coal into a diamond. So the more diamonds you buy, the more coal Superman must crush, therefore removing it from emissions.
I think the Superman version is probably faster than the other version.
That's probably true.
There's a company called Ether with an AE that has attempted to create, or it says it's created, the world's first carbon negative diamonds.
Oh, like they actually are doing what I'm joking about, which is like they saying seem to we're removing carbon from the system by turning it into a diamond.
I guess so. Huh. Yeah. Because they're lab grown. Atmospheric collectors pull carbon dioxide straight from the sky, pulling into specialized filters. The captured CO2 is synthesized into a usable hydrocarbon, perfect for growing diamonds.
What? And the energy used to do it doesn't...
One hopes and assumes that they are using renewable energy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%, they say, of the energy required from start to finish comes from renewable and low emission sources, which, despite their carbon neutrality, doesn't hinder the carbon negative footprint because they're actually sucking carbon out of the air.
Right.
Genius.
Right. Very genius.
It's a thing.
Another thing that makes you a genius is reading. An Uber trend that I don't know that we've touched on is the to be read list. A lot of people manage their to be read list, their TBR. You'll hear people talk about, my TBR. If you're in the bookish circles, TBR is a big deal. How do I manage my TBR list? What tools can I use? Where do I find good stuff to put on my TBR list? How do I not have TBR guilt? Because I have all these things on my TBR list that I haven't read, especially for people who buy physical books and stack them up. And there's like TBR carts out there that people have where they're like, I put my TBR books on my TBR cart.
That's a special cart.
Yeah. I love it. So that I know that I haven't read them yet and I can look at them, to the point that for the past couple of years, growing and growing and growing has been the idea of TBR games. And I heard this referenced recently on the Reading Glasses podcast. And I'm like, that's a thing. I've heard it enough times now. That is definitely a thing. TBR games is I either want to add something to my TBR or I want to pull something off. It seems more often it's like I've got this cart full of TBR books and I need to figure out how to choose what to read next. And so TBR games are all the rage. Some of them are cards. You like have a deck and then you pull the card and it'll say, pick a fantasy book that has a BIPOC character in the lead. Stuff like that. Prompts, basically.
Yeah.
And there are wheels that you can spin. There's even, I found a website called thetbrmachine.com, which will just, you click on randomize and it'll give you a TBR challenge and try to find a book in your pile that matches the challenge.
This is so great.
Yeah.
My whole entire house is my TBR cart. So I'm happy to know that there are solutions out here for it. But also, this is a totally new thing to me. I love the fact that there's like a name for it and a hashtag and that's delightful.
Like I just spun the TBR machine and it said, read the highest rated book on your TBR.
Mine says, read a contemporary book. So then I had to look around and be like,
So the prompts are pretty general. The one I gave as an example is obviously a little specific. The prompts are usually general enough that you're likely to have a book that meets that criteria on your list. Yeah.
Laura in the Discord asks, when will there be inbox zero think pieces for TBR lists?
Oh, they are already here, Laura.
Nailed it.
Just do a search. It's not called inbox zero. It's like managing or reducing or dealing with TBR guilt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, Reading Glasses podcast deals with this a lot. They have people write in and like, I don't want to take things off my TBR list, but I don't want to read them. What do I do? Like, people are just paralyzed by like, I feel guilty if I take it off the list, especially if you bought it. Wow. Right. Yeah.
That's a lot of thinking. That's overthinking.
It might be over perhaps. A little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little bit. Wowzer. Folks, anxiety is such a thing that turns out you can make yourself have to be anxious about just about everything.
Yeah, that's an Uber thing by now.
Sure. It really, really is. Like, oh my goodness. This is just a cheerful, pretty thing that combines two trends that we have discussed at length on this show. LED lights, LED light strips. Yep,
absolutely.
And also mason jars.
Right.
Those two things have collided in the last year or so.
A marriage of beauty.
Marriage of cheerful, delightful beauty, usually referred to as fairy lights in a mason jar.
Ah, that's pretty.
That's it. It's just so lovely. It is like the simplest, easiest decoration. It's like it's a centerpiece. Martha Stewart has a whole project from September of last year where you can like paint glitter paint around the outside of the mason jar and then make the lids all cute and then put the lights inside. You don't even have to do that. I walked through IKEA the other day, which sells both mason jars and LED lights, fairy lights. And they had just littered the whole lighting section with it. And I was like, I get it. I get it.
These are the recipes. I get.
These are the ingredients. App Porter says that they're the staple of the guest bathroom. Mm. Definitely. And yeah. All like every time you just, when you have one, have a cheerful, like it's perfect for an outdoor party because a lot of them are battery operated. It's super simple summer decorating.
Duhan says wedding decorations.
Oh, definitely. They're huge for weddings.
Oh, yeah. If I was doing a wedding now, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Well, and yep. Okay, so App Porter brings up what was in my mind.
Yes.
These things run out of power fast, right? Mm-hmm. The fairy lights are battery powered, and you're not leaving the on-off switch outside the jar. That would ruin the effect. So it's kind of a pain to turn them on and off. So I'm guessing people just leave them on and then they die.
Until they die. Yep. It's super wasteful.
Oh, I was actually talking cool.
like it's, you know, they're beautiful. Solar charger is the way to go. Definitely, yeah. Because the other ones are really, really wasteful. Like, it really is true that we've just decided LEDs are so useful.
I figured it out. Finally, we can quit our jobs.
Oh, God, tell me.
We start selling solar cell mason jar lids.
Oh, you're a genius.
For your fairy light
power. For your fairy light mason jar wedding decorations. The Discord appears to be reporting that someone has already done this, but are they? It's a thing too branded. Late,
and App Porter says he Googled it. But hold on, are we?
I know we're waiting for confirmation.
Does that mean it's actually available? And
that our retirement plan has been ruined because I'm ready.
So, can we? You know, first mover advantage doesn't always mean you win.
Exactly.
I don't think this wave is crested yet. We still may yet ride it.
We have brand awareness, not in the wedding space. I'll grant you, but maybe. All right. While people are typing, let's move on to the feedback. Feedback at itsathing.me is where you can send us your things, your thing checks, thing formations.
Of course, it's on Etsy. Ah!
Oh, biscuits.
Mason jar, solar light lid, color changing LED, solar mason jar light, mason jar, solar light, color changing solar light.
That just shows us there's a market.
That's
right.
We
can still do this.
This is how we get our funding round.
Also, I mean, dude, if they're selling variations on how to do it better, it is a super duper thing. Thing-a-rum-a-ding-dong.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, sorry. Yes.
Feedback at itsathing.me. Jeanette wrote in to help us with our pun work.
Okay.
Hi, Tom and Molly. I mean, this is bold.
I don't know if that's such a good idea to encourage us, Jeanette, but thank you.
I know. And Tom is, you know, a bit of a king at this. Hi, Tom and Molly. Another great episode. Thank you. Can't confirm any of the things from this last week, but I couldn't help wondering if I was the only listener holding my breath, waiting to hear one of you say, be careful what you wish for.
Jeanette, all we can say is, careful what you wish for.
Yes. That was a miss. I think we can both own that. That was a miss. Jeanette, you are right.
Was it a miss or... was it an achievement?
Was it a prompt?
That opportunity? Touché. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's up to you to judge. Rafi wrote in with a drink thing check. All right. This is good. Hello, Tom and Molly. Are spicy drinks a thing? Here in New England, I've noticed that canned drinks like Culture Pop Soda and cocktails seem to be focusing on being spicy. Just starting to get out there with the lower COVID numbers. So maybe spicy drinks have been around, but figure I'd check. Been a fan since the Buzz Out Loud days. Love the show. Thank you, Rafi.
Oh, goodness. I remember Rafi. Mm-hmm. I definitely have no, I like a spicy drink. So I usually look for one on the menu, but you are right that they are now showing up and there might even be like two or three. Spicy tequila drinks have been a thing.
Yeah.
But maybe it's all spreading. Yep. I mean, that makes tons of sense considering the spicy,
like the
everything is a thing.
And, yeah, I could see this. We'll keep an eye out, Rafi. Spicy drinks, obviously not new, but they might be, you know, they might be making a rise.
Yeah, I bet it is. It makes perfect sense because everything else is spicy. So the drinks, all of them might be too. Yeah.
Eileen's been making smoothies lately and they are spicy. You put you on purpose, right? The recipe she got was, you know, you put a little cayenne pepper in them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it supposed to be good for you, or she dislikes it?
Both. Both. Yep. It's, you know, spinach, kale, mango, pineapple, banana, and cayenne pepper.
That sounds delicious. Man, really I good. Made a smoothie yeah. today for the first time in, like, I do not know how long.
Oh, maybe smoothies are a thing.
It was delightful. I had some strawberries I needed to use up. I'm trying to get more fiber.
Yeah. It's a good way to do it, too.
All right. Mr. Joe Hood wrote in with some food thing findings and says, hello, thing leaders.
That's us.
I've seen three food things recently, one even out in the real world. The first two are related. I've noticed a trend of giant knives on food videos across the internet. These look like an anime artist reimagining what a chef's knife looks like, with blades that are 6 inches tall and... and 8 inches long. Here's a link to an Amazon listing of one that I had not seen, but that's hysterical.
This goes in the drawer next to your giant scissors for cutting a ribbon.
I guess so, but the Discord is saying, yep, it's a thing. These right. giant knives often show up in the second thing, scraping a knife along a deep fried piece of food to show how crispy the food is. Mm-hmm. I tried to catch an audio for you, but it all sounded like a jailer's club running across prison bars. This is, I assume, a new technique in the ASMR food world. Then Joe asks, is ASMR food a bigger thing?
It's pretty big. It's been big for a while, though.
Yeah. So. All right. Those are new to me, but I feel like it's only going to, it's going to pop up any second because my son and I have been watching lots of
ASMR shows. Food is definitely, and maybe we should have added that to the bullpen because yeah.
Probably.
That's,
yeah.
That's a good one.
And then this third thing, I feel like we did, right? As an episode, he says, finally, a real world thing. I have started to see birria a bunch out in the world. Birria is a Mexican beef stew that seems to have just become a thing recently. Slow cooked tender beef with an adobo base that they often put into tortillas and fry into a crisp taco. And then he said, here's an Eater article suggesting it was the food thing 2020. I feel like we did birria. I'm pretty sure I brought that to the show.
22nd of yep. 2021,
yep.
birria was Molly's thing.
So, Joe, you are correct.
Yes. I assume Joe knows that. He's just confirming. Like, yep, seeing it in the real world, for sure.
Yep. Thing-formation. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I got to go get some birria tacos.
Sounds pretty good.
I know. I might do that tonight. Because I read about a taco truck that
Guy Fieri. I meet my friend at the pub, but they don't have birria tacos.
Mm-hmm. Going to have to switch it up.
Maybe. Yep. All right. Our shout outs this week for the people at the top level are based on Roger Ebert's review of the film North.
Hold on. I got to get some deets about the movie before we.
Yes. Tell me about the movie North. Not North, North by Northwest. Just
correct.
North.
North is a 1994 American comedy drama adventure film directed by Rob Reiner. The story is based on the 1984 novel North, the tale of a 9-year-old boy who becomes a free agent and travels the world in search of the perfect parents by Alan Zweibel, who wrote the screenplay and has a minor role in the film. That's all courtesy of Wikipedia.
Nice.
All right. Here we go. Shout out, shout out, shout outs. I have no idea why Mike Akins or anyone else wanted to make this story into a movie. And close examination of the film itself is no help. Eric Duncan is one of the most unpleasant, contrived, artificial cloying experiences I've had at the movies. To call it manipulative would be inaccurate. It has an ambition to manipulate, but fails.
The film stars Jake Woods, who is a wonderful young actor, and if you don't believe me, watch his version of The Adventures of Lee Price. Here, he is stuck in a story that no actor, however wonderful, however young, should be punished with. He plays a kid with an inattentive Kevin Sill, who decides to go into court, free himself of him, and go on a worldwide search for a nicer Joe Hood.
The parents, Louis St. Amour and Gabrielle Cohen, have provided little Eric with what looks like a $1 million house in a James C. Smith neighborhood, all on dad's salary as a pants inspector. And yes, I know that is supposed to be a fantasy, but the pants inspecting jokes are only the first of several truly awful episodes in this film.
Man, I can't believe Rich shipped Louis St. Amour and Gabrielle Cohen.
Man, dishy. Plot twist.
I know. Hey-o. Better than the film North, would Roger Ebert might say, were he still with us today.
Clearly far, far better. Thank you, patrons, for starring in this reimagining of the review of the film North. And of course, for supporting the show at the shout out level. We are so grateful every single week because you're the reason that we get to do this. Feedback. Patreon.com/It's a Thing is where you can become a member of the show.
Yes, you can't spell It's a Thing without you. Well, I mean, it's not literally true, but you know what I mean. You can also email us your things. Send them to us. Feedback@It'sAThing.me. Keep them coming.
See you next week.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.